This week we're going to learn us some He-Man. Hello and welcome to Modern Toy Fair. I'm your host, Mr. Modern Toy Fair, and I am joined by the founder of the NEC Illuminati, the delayer of shipments, the procrastinator of pre-orders, the perfect person, my YouTube wife, Mrs. Modern Toy Fair, Jamar _ Games. But that's not all. I'm also joined by the man known as Bearded Spice, the man Modern Toy Fair has full custody over, the man up to his prime popped and he refuses to stop, the Twilight Knight, the master of Mac, the three-pump jump of taking this show off the rails, Nate.
What is happening?
How's it going, guys?
It is new. Pretty good.
It's going well. I am on the eve of Thanksgiving at this present moment, and I'm thankful that
are we not all three in the same time period? The way you said that,
we're on different timelines.
You said I'm currently on Thanksgiving Eve, so I was like, are we not on Thanksgiving Eve?
Aren't I in Arizona?
I wouldn't put you in a different timeline. That would just put you in a different time zone.
But the thing is, then we would be closer to
that would also
or
work.
Not New Year's. But yeah, you're on a different. Never mind. Multiverse. I was in Loki spoilers and stuff.
Well, anyway, so this week's episode, what we're going to be doing is a little history lesson, a little Masters of the Universe history lesson. Nate is going to go through and ask us some questions and educate us. So I'm going to hand it off to you, Nate. This is your
time. All right. Shine. Yeah. So anyone who's been watching the channel at all knows that I'm a pretty big Masters of the Universe fan, rocking my shirt as well. Also, I come from a different, like, I am essentially almost a generation difference from you guys. Like, I am, depending on how you count it, I am either a baby Gen X or geriatric millennial. So depending on how the years fall, but
that's how
you know, I also, yeah, exactly. I did live in that kind of pop culture boom era of the 80s. And so, I experienced Masters of the Universe firsthand. Not that I'm not gatekeeping at all. I'm not trying to say that I'm any more of a fan than someone, but I'm certainly more of a fan than either of you two. That's because I've been around it for a long, long time. But also, it is proven that He-Man and the Masters of the Universe are timeless because we're 41 years on from its creation, and you can walk into almost any general retail stores and find at least two concurrent toy lines on the shelf. So, not bad for a dude in his wicker Speedo.
Now, by any story, you mean Ollie's, right?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, it's true, though. It's true.
No, it is not true. That is true. You can go into Walmart. You can go to Target. You can go to Ollie's. You can go to Five Below. You could go to Everything's a Dollar. You could go to, I mean, you're going to find one of many Masters of the Universe toy lines. And honestly, while I wasn't really going to get into that part of it, that's part of its history as well. Overproduction, oversaturation of the market, especially on two particular characters. And that's two particular characters I'm going to use as examples pretty much exclusively, with only a couple of changes. But my first question to you guys, there is a long-standing rumor. Some people say it's untrue. Some people say it's true, depending on who you talk to in the creation of He-Man. But the creation of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe came out of a failed pitch or a failed project of a blockbuster movie that could be slightly related. Do you know that movie?
Writing this down on our dry erase boards that we normally use for only figs.
Yes.
Is it?
You can't ask me questions.
No. I'm more so. I wrote it, but we'll just do this.
All right, give me 1 second, because
you got to have your representation up to.
Yes.
Also, okay. Now I can't erase that. So.
All right.
Did you just put it in a permanent marker?
No, no. I just don't have my little towel thing over here.
Okay.
So.
See, my marker has an eraser on it. Are we ready then?
Mm-hmm.
3, 2, 1.
Oh, I did spell it right. Conan.
Okay. So I would, yes, the spelling is good. I would have to give full credit to Michael because he did say Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah. Not
oh, I was going to write not that, but. Host.
Yeah, I know. But there, the difference is there's Conan the Barbarian, there's Conan the Destroyer. So.
Oh, I didn't know there was a second one. I just knew about
there I is, was going to say the same it, thing.
I was like, oh, terrible. No. He's mad.
It's terrible.
That was. First, I almost cool. wrote Arnold too.
Second one is not cool until like the last 10 minutes. And by then it's a heavy snore. But yeah, so the rumor is that either Mattel wanted to create a Conan's toy line, but then backed out because it was an R-rated movie, or they just ripped it off altogether. That has been a talk for years. I'm not going to comment on that. I don't know that that's necessarily true, but either way, the toy line launched in 1982. With the release of, I'm not going to get into specifics because I don't remember exactly how many figures were released in the first wave.
That was a long time for you, so.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to show off He-Man and Skeletor here. So this is the original. Well, my nicer version of Skeletor was not accessible to me at the moment, so I just had this naked one. So, you know, it's cool. But yeah, I have these awesome stands for him. I showed these stands off before, but these are the original vintage He-Man Skeletor. These are not Origins. These are the originals. Oh. You can tell like He-Man's face is like
different shade.
It's more faded. Yeah. It has been played with. I'm also old school. So if you notice, you'll notice tonight, if given the option, I will generally display my He-Man with the battle axe.
Really? Instead so of the
right.
sword thing.
Yes, and the reason because is the original lore that was developed for the line that was told through a series of included mini comics with the toys. That was kind of the really cool thing that it did is that every figure came with a mini comic, and it was actually, you know, a pretty long comic as well, and it gave you backstory and all kinds of information. And some of the early things was that, you know, there was no Prince Adam, there was no other, you know, alter ego. The sword was actually in two different, you know, sides. Skeletor had one side, He-Man had the other, and whoever could bring them together would gain access to Castle Grayskull and be the master of the universe. So even back then, Castle Grayskull wasn't necessarily a good guy place. It was a mysterious castle that they battled over, and that was good enough for us when we first got them. And I'll be honest, I remember That's getting cool. these figures. Trust me, I'm a purist. I love that stuff. The mini comics are my jam. I love them. I love that old style. It's great. I love it. See, you get me giddy about it. I'm just going to calm down. But that's my favorite version of He-Man. So it comes out. It's a huge smash hit. And because of some stuff that Reagan did, which we loved at the time, looking back on it, maybe not so great. He changed some regulations in the ways that advertising could be presented to children on children's television. And because of that, they could make half-hour cartoons based on toy lines. We had nothing like that previous ever. And so when Filmation's He-Man and the Masters of the Universe was released in 1983, a year after the launch of the toy line, it just blew things up even more, introduced, you know, the Prince Adam lore, introduced Orko, the Sorceress, things like that, Snake Mountain, all that cool stuff that became part of it is in there. So I'm going to ask you guys the next question to see what you know. Other than the mini comics, He-Man made his comic debut battling what superhero?
Oh, shit.
Well, I'm going to say it was definitely.
I mean, I'm probably dead wrong, but I'm taking a wild stab based off of a former toy line that used to peg warm at Toys R Us.
I should do.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off.
Are you ready, Jamar?
Sure.
3, 2, 1. Hey!
Two in a row. Correct.
Look at that. I think you got to take it back. We are pretty huge.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, fans. You do.
I am impressed. So, yeah, DC Comics Presents launched He-Man into comics. The DC published a couple of things, but then weirdly it went to Marvel later on and part of Star Comics. So, not really a question, but have you guys ever seen the 1987 Masters of the Universe movie with Dolph Lundgren?
No, I've just seen the toys that you've shown us.
Okay.
And is it out of real name? Because it sounds like a... No, the name Dolph Lundgren seems like someone who's in witness protection.
Wow. I mean, I don't necessarily know either. I just...
You saw Creed 2, right?
Yeah.
Ivan Drago.
Oh.
That's Dolph Lundgren. Like,
Dude.
Dolph Lundgren was amazing at that time because he was just in Rocky IV, and he was like huge because of that.
I like that your
two
was you saw Creed 2, not you saw Rocky 4.
Well, I mean,
well, listen,
it's a guarantee
to
see Creed.
Exactly. It's Michael B. Jordan shirtless in 90% of the movie while he sweats. Of course, he saw Creed 2. Rocky 4 is a gamble. You guys are young. I don't know.
I've seen all the Rocky movies, surprisingly.
What's shocking is Rocky 4 is horrible. It's a terrible movie. But oh my God, it came out. I'm getting off track, but that's what I do. But it came out at the height. I think it was 85, the height of the Cold War. And, you know, he was fighting a Russian and he had killed Apollo Creed. It's the guy who killed Apollo Creed. I mean, that's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dolph Lundgren. He played He-Man. So it's a
Jordan Daddy issue.
I would love to do a live reaction with you guys watching that movie.
Rocky IV?
No, well, Masters of the Universe.
I was going to say that would be a little bit weird, but yeah.
I was like, I said I've seen it, but okay.
But that leads me to that movie was not the first theatrically released He-Man movie. In 1985, 2 years prior, He-Man and She-Ra, The Secret of the Sword, was released in theaters.
I'm sorry, that's
between 1 and 25. How many millions did it make at the box office?
This was before. Okay, so you said 1 to 25, correct?
Correct.
Okay, now I was all right. So I'm going to go.
I mean, I've just seen like none because it seems like a softcore porn, so it probably wasn't very accessible.
It wasn't. I wish it was now, but
I suppose it doesn't have like a special Blu-ray release.
No, it does.
Oh,
I mean, it has a DVD release. I don't know if it's out on Blu-ray, but you said never mind.
Yeah. Oh, you mean Did you spell a number wrong?
Pretty sure. Yeah, I put too many A's in my number.
Okay.
It's a joke, but I'm pretty sure I spelled... Go ahead.
You spell million wrong?
Yeah, I looked at it, I was like, nah, I think it's right. I don't know. I don't ever really see millions on my paycheck anymore.
Yeah, one.
Come on.
Wow.
How is this
I don't have the answer up, but I do have... Oh, you can't really see it as well. I do have the poster image of He-Man and She-Ra, The Secret of the Sword, but it was 8 million, so neither one of you guys. So what this did is it introduced She-Ra for the first time, which was literally a sister toy line to Masters of the Universe, She-Ra and the Princess of Power. And I even have this vintage She-Ra.
These things are like crazy.
And her bad guy, Catra.
That's rough.
Does she have a comb sword?
Yes. That's what was amazing about these line, because they are real rooted hair, and so their weaponry would always have a secondary use as a comb.
Was it like that in the show/movie too?
No. Oh. No.
How sexist were the 80s?
The funny thing about that, they... you could buy extra outfits for them. They definitely had comb. I mean, it was definitely a girls geared line. Mm-hmm. And that back then, lines were definitely drawn more when it comes between those are girls' toys, these are boys' toys, that sort of thing. I wanted them because they were part of He-Man, but I never got them because I didn't go look at them. I didn't even ask my parents for them.
You didn't have the audacity to ask for the girls' toys.
Right, right, right. And that's a deep regret because they're cool. They had some great stuff. And that movie kicked off a whole series for She-Ra, and it is actually the way better cartoon between the two. It is so much better than He-Man as a cartoon. It's really well done. But the funny thing is the bad guys in that show was the evil Horde, which was part of the He-Man toy line. So those were folded into the He-Man toy line, even though they were She-Ra's main adversaries.
Interesting.
So, but yeah, the previous that I mentioned, Masters of the Universe movie with Dolph Lundgren, pretty much killed all hopes for He-Man. Mattel and Canon Films sunk a whole bunch of money into that movie, and it did not do well. So,
so this is live action.
Yes, it is live action.
Okay, because I'm thinking like maybe he voiced it, but that makes
sense. No. It is fantastic. Sense. You should Google Dolph Lundgren as He-Man. He looks incredible. It's the only figures representation I think I didn't grab when I was over there because it doesn't really. The face sculpt doesn't look exactly like him, so it's fine. But an actor, Frank Langella, played Skeletor, and he does a fucking incredible job. Like, he is putting on the performance of a lifetime under that rubber mask, and it's chef's kiss. It's amazing. The movie, I've had my issues with it. It was low budget, so they were in Eternia for, like, 10 minutes, and then they got traveled to Earth, and they were on Earth for most of the movie. And then the last 10 minutes or 20 minutes, they go back to Eternia. Some of the characters were new. Some of them were existing, but they didn't look right. It was weird. That's why I let adaptations slide a lot more than most people do nowadays, because my stuff didn't look like it did in the other medium ever.
Was Beastman just the bear that they rented out?
Beastman probably looks the best, but he doesn't say anything. He just growls the whole time. Like, he's not very. And then the coolest guy they added was this dude Sauron, which was this cool space lizard guy, but they kill him within like 10 minutes of the movie, and you're like, and they only released three movie figures, which was Sauron, Blade, and the Orko stand-in Gwildor, which was a little person in a costume, and it didn't look like Orko. He looked like a little gnome. He's a little gnome guy with like a great big face. It was weird.
CGI abs wasn't a thing, and holy shit, I just googled it. I advise everyone else.
Oh no, he does Google. Not need CGI abs.
Holy crap.
Yeah, and there's a scene where He-Man gets captured, and like I think it's either Beastman or Evil-Lyn is like whipping him, and at one point, because I made my family watch it, I looked over at my wife during that part. She looked at me and she was like, because, you know, He-Man was just getting whipped. And I was like, yeah, exactly.
Oh my God. Yeah.
But that pretty much shut everything down. And the next question is, how many years did Masters of the Universe lie dormant? And I'm not going to give you a cap because you can kind of at least sort of figure it out.
Before. Because I don't even know when.
Yeah. So it started.
So basically, how many years after the toy line ended did they try to bring it back?
Okay, the toy line. I thought like after this movie.
When did the movie happen again?
It happened in 1987.
And the toy line ended after that?
Yeah, the same year.
Okay. This is going to be interesting to see if we somehow manage to have the same answer for a third time.
No, I'm going to put something cheesy just because I have no clue.
You could put 69. So I'm just wondering.
Yeah, it's in the year 69.
Still not bad. All right, ready?
Some would say it was never the same. All right, oh yeah, go. Three, I thought you were counting.
One.
Oh, I just did the year.
He said how many years? Three.
Oh, well, I did 1999.
I'm closer.
Yeah.
What did you say, Jamar?
1999.
So this would have been almost.
And you said it ended in 1987.
Yeah. So in 1990, it was brought back as the New Adventures of He-Man.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Oh,
about
yeah. These are the space ones.
Yeah.
Yes. So different body style, different action features. They have like a little thing on the back that makes them like move, you know, and do like little action.
Oh, they got that.
So here he is punching.
Like weird suggestive motion.
Yep. And maybe I don't know if my Skeletor works or, he's on the back. He's got his little staff action here.
He's not working that staff at all.
Nope, he's not working that staff. So I'm not going to push it. It's a vintage toy. It's, 30-some years old. So that was accompanied by a cartoon as well. It was an anime-influenced mess. The toy line, I think, lasted maybe a year and a half, maybe 2 years total internationally. But then it died again. So not a hugely successful line. But those molds were used a few years later for a smash science fiction action film starring Sylvester Stallone. Can you guess it?
I feel like you said this before.
Maybe that was
when I was thinking of Dune. I don't know.
Wait, so this line a few years later got reused for a Sylvester Stallone movie toy line.
Yes. The body.
Was the movie new at the time?
Yes.
How many Sylvester Stallone movies do you know off the top of your head, Michael?
Me?
Come on. There's only two that I could legitimately think of.
And one of them's newer.
Expendables?
And if you haven't seen this, you have to do yourself a favor. Not only is it a great rugged movie, it holds up really well.
So it's sci-fi. Got it.
Yeah.
Oh man, I gotta use my shirt. I have my answer.
I don't even know. I'm just fucking throwing shit at the wall at this point.
Oh, let's see you try and score this one.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
Rambo in space.
Rambo in space. Rambo in space. Nice. Space. He's not even in Space Troopers. What even is? Are you thinking of Starship Troopers?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
He wasn't in that either. All right. The answer is the Sylvester Stallone Wesley Snipes classic.
Oh shit!
Demolition Man.
Oh my god! How did I forget?
I don't know.
Oh my god!
Is awesome.
How did I know? I'm so disappointed in myself. Didn't think of Demolition Man. What
you
the fuck?
Should be.
In your defense, probably don't look at that as a Sylvester Stallone movie.
I know. That's what I was about to say. It's like,
Wesley Snipes movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, to be fair.
That's fair.
In my mind, is Wesley Snipes.
I was going to say Wesley Snipes, but you know what?
That would have gave it away.
Sylvester Stallone is kind of... Well, he was in a lot of movies at the time. My girlfriend in college had a very... Now that I look back on it, kind of weird. But she had a very particular, like, I couldn't rent movies with Wesley Snipes in them. Right.
Like, are we
seems kind of racist.
Is it because... Yeah, I mean, it depends on what her reason was. It could have been her reason.
I've always rented movies with Wesley Snipes in them.
No, I'm just saying, like, if her reason was, like, because I get so sexually attracted.
I don't think that was it. I think it was every time I came home from the video store, I had a movie with Wesley Snipes in it.
So she just,
was a huge fan,
or she was racist. That's the two things we've got here.
I think she was just tired of him.
Okay,
that's fair.
But then the funny thing was, she was like, "Hey, why don't we watch U.S. Marshals?" Which was a sequel to The Fugitive, which has Wesley Snipes in it. It was amazing.
You couldn't escape him though back in the day.
Yeah. I'll skip some questions on these next few just to kind of get things moving through because these are not as memorable. But. The line was resurrected once again in the early 2000s, only as recreations of the original classic figures down to their packaging, but put in these weird glossy blister packs. So that was like around 2000, 2001. And then in 2002, 2003, which is why it's referred to as 2000X, this toy line done by the Four Horsemen in their early days. This was a new line from Mattel. And they, were bringing it back to be cool and gritty for the early 2000s. They wanted that McFarlane style sculpt and detail, which they did do. He-Man looking, new and modern and NSYNC like, but still retaining those fur shorts, but making them shaggier.
Isn't it hilarious how much detail went into action figures 20 years ago compared to now?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, this has a lot of paint apps on it. The detail and paint apps are like every are ridiculous.
Those little metal pieces is painted silver.
Oh yeah.
Like, not just like painted silver all the way. Like the gem is like left to look like the proper color and stuff. Like,
yep. And just as that show was getting really good, it got canceled, and the toy line didn't do well because they over flooded the market with He-Man and Skeletor. Like that was all you could find, and that didn't hurt things. So at retail, it failed again. So two times in a row. So it went away from retail and was resurrected as the first real modern collector line from Matty Collector, and that is Masters of the Universe Classics.
Oh, you've got the pretty cool the classic looking heads on there, and didn't those have like updated heads too, like kind of like how the Masterverse does.
Yes, like the original head that came out on him, I didn't really like, and later on they actually had this special head in a different figure. The Skeletor, I think, is the correct original head, but I'm not for sure. Mm. But these were, again, highly detailed. These were online only. The weird thing was, is they weren't made to order. They were actually, like, they would go up on the website and sell out sometimes in minutes. And they would ship out thereafter. And then they started to get subscriptions. You had to subscribe to the classic subscription. Then they started doing like Filmation characters from the cartoon. So they had a different subscription for that. And then they had a Beasts and Weaponry subscription. And it just got totally out of hand. But it did run until like 2008 to 2015, 2016, something like that.
Oh, wow. Weren't those in Toys R Us? Because I know they had the crossover line of DC in Toys R Us, but I thought they had the normal one too.
No. So they did have the crossover with the DC Universe ones. That was the only true retail release of those. Now, some of them later on ended up at like GameStop or like Ollie's and stuff because they were buyouts or weird big things. Lots. And then Big Lots as well got a bunch of them. While the line was still like kind of running current, that really butthurt a lot of people. I didn't go through the pain and torture of collecting them at the time. I waited till they were pretty pricey and hard to get on the secondary market and thought, I think I need those. But I don't think my heart could have taken it. You know, the early days of the internet, 2008, you know, try to log on at 12:01 on Mondays. Thankfully, I had a retail job where if I did work, I probably didn't go until 5 or some bullshit like that. So I was like, because I did get the Ghostbusters line at the time, which was frustrating enough. So, any questions on that? I don't have any questions for you. Like I said, I'm going to get it moving a little bit. Mm-hmm. Okay. But Classics did some cool things by releasing some cool versions. They released the first versions of the movie figures. They did a bunch of different variants, some from the mini comics, some from other media and things like that. But one of the things they did towards the end as well was the Filmation style.
Ooh,
so like these better. Are directly from the cartoon style. So if you're way into the cartoon, you like these versions better. That's cool too. But like, you know, for me, like this I definitely have with his sword because this, he didn't have the axe in the cartoon. Right. That makes no sense. So, but I do love Skeletor with his Havoc staff. That's always a must. So then, you know, that kind of takes us up a little bit, mostly to present day. And I just kind of wanted to just real quickly spotlight some cool things because a couple years ago they brought Origins, which was like remakes of original figures, but with all new posing, you know, and articulation. These are actually not the actual Origins He-Man Skeletor. These are the Lords of Power version. This was a PowerCon exclusive 1 year. So these are based on the original pitch for the line. These looks Skeletor and things. Yeah. Yep, exactly. He-Man doesn't look too different. He's got like a different color, like, and like his boots are painted differently. And I think there was like a dagger somewhere or something. I don't remember now. But again, axe, because that's the Lord of Power.
Would he keep
a dagger
in his prison pocket?
No,
just
his
between
booties.
His booty cheeks. Yeah.
Yep. Not his booty cheeks, but his
boot. Like the
so yeah, he's Origins.
Like, he's squeezing the entire time.
Release stat.
Origins came out, as well as there was a new Netflix show that was more geared towards younger audiences, also called He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. So there was a corresponding inexpensive toy line, which I bought almost all of. I'm missing two, actually.
That Skeletor was cool. Kind of badass, yeah. Not gonna lie.
Yeah. And then the next line that I'm going to talk about, Masterverse, they actually released a version of these, but these are the original versions. But the Masterverse versions are actually
What's with Skeletor's hand? He's got like some sort of Infinity Gauntlet thing going on?
So yeah, kind of like that. Yeah, for lack of a better term. So, and then to also to tie into Netflix's other series, Revelation, they did release the 7-inch style of He-Man and Skeletor and a bunch of others. They've made basically everybody, and hopefully they will be doing more with the Revolutions. And then finally, I just wanted to show off the other subline that they have, which is New Eternia. Oh, here's the dagger on this guy. New Eternia, which is based off of early concepts.
Ooh,
that's cool.
That's kind of cool.
So, yeah, his dagger's down here. Again, with the axe. So, yeah. I love He-Man. I have always liked it, and I've liked most of the different media that it's involved with. But it's a fun thing because there's, you know, like anything now, there's all kinds of different versions that you can appreciate. And in fact, there was even a comic multiverse crossover. But I thought I would show one more time within the Masterverse line, She-Ra and Catra again.
It looks way better now than they did back then.
Yes. So that's a quick history lesson along with quiz questions on Masters of the Universe.
And then Michael put the graphic right here. The more you know.
Yep. Ding, ding, ding. I'm sure we can use that.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what's fair use and what's not.
Public domain.
Yeah.
Public domain after what?
Domain. Literally, the Way of the Pirates became public domain like a year ago.
Yeah. Well, no, because that's definitely like a trademark thing. Because yeah. But do you guys have any questions?
No, I was going to make a joke and say we're all the black people.
Yeah, he did kind of mention that. He mentioned his like, potentially racist ex-girlfriend, but didn't mention any of the black characters. Just saying.
I mean,
we know the story of Sun Man, right? Is that what it was? Or Soul
Man? But he wasn't part of Masters Universe at the time.
Correct. I mean, just more of like the toy line. Yeah. He wasn't like actually in the show. It was just the toy that was made.
Right.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, there was Clamp Champ in.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Regular He-Man, and then Natasa in She-Ra. So yeah.
Oh wow! Shocked actually. On She-Ra.
Yeah.
That was a cool storyline, and I'll tell you later.
All right.
Just probably a good episode of She-Ra.
Okay, well, on that note, if you enjoyed this version of the podcast where we did like this little history lesson with a little bit of trivia mixed in, let us know in the comments below.
Fun examples.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear you first time.
No, fun examples.
If you absolutely hate it, also let us know, because you know sometimes it's hard to stay topical and, you know, find things that are interesting going around the toy world, because it's literally mostly just toxic shit 9 times out of 10. So it's nice to have some levity. Yep. But I know sometimes that stuff doesn't get clicks or doesn't enthrall the viewers as much. So we're trying new things all the time, seeing what sticks. So let us know what you enjoy and what you don't. And as always, if you did enjoy this video, like and subscribe. Helps us out, gets you a toy-related content in your feed. We've got the weekly podcast. We've got the weekly toy haul. We've got, which is our weekly live stream. I don't know why I call it toy haul. It's what the thumbnail says. We've got the weekly toy hunt, though, which is another T and an H. We've got reviews. We've got how to pose videos, all sorts of different stuff.
If you made it to the end of this video, comment down below, what's your favorite version of He-Man and Skeletor?
That as well. I like that. I like that way better than the tell us if we suck or not.
I mean, well, you can tell us if we suck, too.
I
mean,
yeah, I still do that either way.
Let us know,
like, I still want to
also
know.
Also let us know about your favorite versions of He-Man and Skeletor. I'm curious to know.
If you also want to, you can head over to Instagram, Twitter, or TikTok, and we are at Modern Toy Fair. You can check out patreon.com/ModernToyFair. We have a bunch of different tiers with different rewards. You can get anything from being able to put episode input, give fake podcasts that Nate reads off at the end of the episode, potentially. We've got physical prints of the photos I take for the reviews. We've got episodes of the podcast and the toy hunt early and exclusive episodes of the podcast. So check that out. Link in the description below. We also have our tpublic.com/ModernToyFair store, where we have a bunch of merch with our logos and different inside jokes from the live stream. The link will be for that in the description below as well. You can check Jamar out over on TikTok at Jamar_games. And Nate, what you got for us?
If you have not checked out the Scott Pilgrim show on Netflix, please do.
Yes, I need to.
You guys watch it?
Not yet.
I am.
I forgot it came out.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll talk more about that here in a second, but I did want to put that out there before I did my dramatic reading of the, well, I don't do dramatic readings on podcasts. I'm confused.
No, All right.
So,
but this
one, they only do that on the feedback.
Well, yeah, that's the Patreon input is what the dramatic reading is.
Yeah.
But we don't have that.
This is the podcast.
So we have this one, which is so topical. Oh, no, wait, I'm going to skip it. I'm going to go to the other one. I want to talk about, this one that's been a long time coming, The Loneliest Gray Hair. In this groundbreaking podcast about grooming and hygiene, we discussed single gray hairs. The first episode dives deep into the one lonely gray hair on the upper left mustache of our very own Mr. Modern Toy Fair.
Oh,
it's funny.
So... And if we want to get into a whole series, I mean,
yeah.
Well, oddly enough,
I have a whole spot that's white too. If you guys didn't, I talked about this before, but if you've never seen that episode, it's not a bald spot. It's just It's just so.
It literally
just
looks
a
like
concentrated
you do
white
this
hair
all the time. So I thought you were like rubbing it until the point you were losing the hair.
Thanks. Yeah, that's what my wife said too. She's like, "But you must do this too much," and I'm like, "I've never done this. Like, I don't do this."
You think really
it's funny.
Also. You can't rub the color of the beard.
No, but if you rub it enough, it could go bald.
Sure,
it
could go bald, but
But
I've actually, like, I could. Like, my wife tried it one time. She just put, like, mascara on it, and it filled all in. And I was like, oh, that's weird.
I thought you were going to say, like, a touch of, touch of gray or whatever it is, that like, touch-up.
No, I like my grays.
Yeah, it is quite funny. I do have, like, one gray hair, like, right here. And I'm guessing he must have noticed it in the toy hunt video, since that's like the one time you get a close up of my face.
I was gonna say, what resolution are we?
We don't put out a high enough resolution. You could zoom in that much, but like in the toy hunt videos, usually like as I'm walking up, like it's like right here, so like you can see. But that's funny.
Mm.
I also have like a weird like Dalmatian spot of gray in the back of my head that I've had for years. I'm pretty sure it's probably like either a birthmark or chemical burns or something. But that's not the point of this. Anyway, hopefully we see next
That'll be a new podcast. Toy time. Weird shit on our body.
Same Toy Fair channel. Thank you for watching.
Goodbye.
I got a weird burn on my leg if you guys want to talk about that. To do it now.
All right. A huge thank you to our Patreon members. Is that what it is? Are they members? Or are they followers? Sukma Taint, Jason Millar, Tavin Hernandez, Aaron Samples, The 45th Lyric, and last but not least, Christopher.